Blog Talk Radio. Shalom, shalom. Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode on Blog Talk Radio. Your host will be today, Five Smooth Stones. I'm Brother Seth. I'm here along with my wife, Arlene. Arlene, say hello to the people.
Shalom, everyone. Hello.
So we're here for another Sunday episode talking about mysteries in the Bible, mysteries in the scriptures, and today's topic will, as you, I'm sure most of you read on the front of our page, it says, and I'll be specific, and because I'm going to go ahead and read the description as well. But if you're just tuning in, okay, again, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Seth, and Amazing Proof of Biblical Black Biblical Jews 101. I had just changed the topic. That's why I wanted to just read it again, because I wanted to make it very clear. This is 101, Amazing Proof of Black Biblical Jews. We're going to do, like I say, 101, meaning the very foundation of this whole study. A lot of times we start talking about this and we jump too deep into it, but I figured I would retitle this and just kind of redo the whole presentation, because we're losing a few people when we jump in too deep. So hopefully everybody's doing well today. It's 3:30, and that's Central Standard Time. I know we got people listening all over the place. And I just, speaking of that, I want to thank everybody for listening to our shows. We're new to Blog Talk, not new to the internet, but new to Blog Talk. And we've got a very good response from people, be it our show on the Shabbat or on the Sabbath on Saturdays at 11 o'clock, where we just talk, where we're right now talking about justification by faith, the law versus grace, sinning, the whole issue with sin. And then on Sundays, like today, we talk about who we are as a people. This whole notion of black biblical Jews, is that foolishness? Is it proof? Is it fiction? What's up with that? Why are there so many millions of people now flocking to this belief and practicing this belief and worshiping the Most High through this perspective? Because it's all about Him, not about what color somebody was. I don't know why so many people trivialize this message to just that. It's so much more big and more important than that. And then on Tuesday nights we talk about, we have the Federation of International Israelites, the Federation of International Israelites. And as you know, federation means unite. So it's the uniting of international Israelites, because truly this is a international movement that will not be stopped. So the Father has caused the dry bones to come together. The rumbling, the shaking has begun. As you know, He told Ezekiel, prophesy unto those dry bones. So all from all four corners of the earth, Israel is taking on a presence. It's becoming more tangible, us as a nation, and I'm excited about these times we live in, okay? So, again, today's title is going to be Amazing Proof of Black Biblical Jews, or Israelites 101, okay? We're going to start as foundational as we can make it, and we'll start off with here in a little bit talking about, so what? What if it is true? What does it have to do with you, listener? That's going to be our first topic. Why is it important? Before we even begin, why is it important? Okay, so we'll do that first. But before I do that, let me talk a little bit about my page. Again, we're at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5 smooth stones, but separate those with an underscore, okay? Otherwise, you're going to get somebody else, and I don't want that to happen, okay? Again, I hope you're doing well, you and yours, your families out there listening. Anybody listening to a blog this time of day, obviously, is not just have itching ears. They're looking for something. They are looking for something, especially with the title we have. So this is not about racism, because sometimes we draw some people to think this is a black thing. It really, truly, truly is not. Okay, I'm going to say it again. It really, truly, truly is not. This is a God thing, or Elohim thing, or Yahweh thing, okay? This is so much have to do with the Bible. It's so biblical. I mean, this probably will be the most biblical thing. And I'm going to say this. it will probably be the most biblical thing you have ever heard. We don't have to twist any scriptures. We will read it the way it sounds, and it is for what it is. And I'm saying to you, please get out your notepads, pens, Bibles, Strong's Concordance, your scripture treasury, in books, and any other Bible helps you need with your Bible study, because today we're going to do, just like the title says, show you amazing proof, not just of black biblical Jews or Israelites, but just a lot of things you just don't hear in a lot of our churches. Holler out to those good churches that are doing the right thing, winning souls, developing those that come to them into the image of Christ. That's what it's all about, truly, truly, truly. That's what I hope that I'm about, and I believe that I am, because this subject, as I'll share a little later on even more, has been a blessing to people, not just in Texas where I am, but all around the world. The Most High have allowed me to travel and see some things and meet the kinds of people that you just don't meet even if you did travel. So it's not so much I travel, it's who I met and the places I've got to see accidentally sometimes and under some of the weirdest circumstances when I travel that let me know that I'm on course to do God's work, okay? All right, I'm going to say the word God. Normally I say Elohim, but I don't want, again, this is 101. This is a foundation 101, and so we don't want to, I'm going to, instead of saying Elohim and making y'all feel comfortable, some of y'all don't know, that's the Hebrew rendering of that. That's, instead of God, it's Elohim. God was added later. And I'll say Yahweh. Surely you know that the Father is Yahweh and his Son. Normally I don't say Jesus Christ, I say Yeshua, but I'm not too religious to where I feel like my salvation is in jeopardy by calling on a name that I was actually saved under, been healed under, have seen all types of powers under. I ain't that ignorant, okay? So I do know that the Most High know exactly who we're talking about when we call on. But, yes, it is very, very true that there wasn't a J in the Hebrew language. His name was Yeshua, or some people say Yahawashah or Yahawashah, different pronunciations of that, okay? But no J in the Hebrew language. So we understand that, but we are not so high and mighty that we can't say Jesus Christ again, a name that we were saved under, many of us was delivered under. The Most High know exactly who we are talking about. You hear me, Arlene?
Oh, yeah.
You know how many people call me Seth, and my name is Seth, but I answer because I know who they mean. So us Hebrew Israelites out there need to kind of give people a pass on that. All right. So once you log into the internet, you go to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Look at the my page and go down to where it talks about under profile, it'll talk about some books. It'll talk about my library. Click on that, and you'll get a library of books that I have and listen to, and you can kind of understand where some of the teaching I've gotten have come from. That's not exclusively everything I've talked about. Some things the Holy Spirit showed me, it ain't nowhere, okay? That's just true, and that's with all of us. So, but a lot of the teachings have come from a lot of great people like Andrew Womack and Rudolph Windsor and Dr. Ben, and there's a lot of people I listen to out there, okay? And I believe that what the scripture says, a righteous man path is ordered. That don't mean I'm perfect, but I have had the work that has been done in me by the Most High is a perfect work. His spirit that he put inside of me is a perfect spirit, as First John talks about. His seed does remain in me, and that part of me cannot sin because it is straight from the Father. Now, my flesh and all these other things, these is where my imperfections lie. So I don't claim to be perfect, but these books that I have in the library is very good for your future learning. Also, there's some links I have that you guys have got to click on. I say guys, don't be offended. I just an American thing, I guess. That's the part of me. It's definitely American. But click on the links and listen and look at some of the websites and different people I have on there. Okay? So do that. And also, the chat room is open for those of you that want to chat. I will answer if I If you can, if you'll leave a message, then I do answer chats on the, during the show, okay? And don't forget, if you call in, you can just simply click on the one. Just click the one, and you can ask a question on the air. Not a problem. Not a problem, okay? We don't run from nobody, no religions, no questions here, all right? So let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll finish up here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. I want to thank you for the opportunity to just to live and to see your glory, to feel your glory, and then to turn around and give you more glory. We just thank you for another day. Thank you that things are as good as they are. We worship you today, O Yahweh, by way of studying the scriptures, by seeking your face, seeking your character, seeking your will even more for our lives. We ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, direct us, instruct us. You said in your word that we have an unction from this Spirit and need not that any man should teach us. Father, I just ask that you would speak to me, this vessel of clay, and be a blessing to not just me, but the hearers. Your kingdom truly is coming. And we ask that we be willing servants to help bring it. So, Father, give us this day truly our daily bread, our daily law, our daily direction. We thank you for the authority you've given us in binding the enemy, and we right now along with the heavens, because we know you've said in your word that whatsoever we bind upon the earth shall be bound in heaven. So we along with the heavens take authority and bind any and every demonic spirit that has come to steal the word that is to further your kingdom on this planet. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness that you share with us every single day. We don't take it for granted. I ask a blessing upon the listeners that they would not just hear the word, but they would be doers of the word. Again, to bring your kingdom even clearer to all men. These things we pray in your son's name. Amen. Okay, folks. All right. So I want to just say, again, the title, make sure we know what we're talking about today. We're talking about amazing proof. The Bible is amazing. The scriptures is always amazing, more amazing than anything on the planet we call amazing. Amazing proof. Proof is self-explanatory. Okay? Something that just cannot be denied. Amazing proof of black. That's a bad word, really. It means all the bad things, black, you know, everything, anytime something is black, and think something is gloomy, sad, they want to put the term black. But I use that word because everybody knows what you're talking about. I could have put a big old long list and said African-Americans, but I just put black. Proof of black or dark-skinned biblical Jews. That name Jew I don't like, and it's not biblical, not just because of the letter J, but because Israel was never just Jews. Jew come from the tribe Judah. And how upset would it be that you have 12 brothers walking down the street and everybody referred to those 12 brothers by one of the brothers? Might have a fight, wouldn't you say, Arlene? So you don't refer to a family by just calling the whole family by one of the brothers' names. Why do people in Israel do that? I don't know. Okay? But it's really, we could say, amazing proof of black biblical Israelites. Israel was scattered, as some of you should know, and I'm not going to assume everybody knows. This is 101, which means we got to talk like nobody know anything. Okay, Arlene?
Yeah.
So let's keep it simple. If I get too deep, you let me know. All right, 101. The Most High got upset with his people because they were some stiff-necked people, rebellious people. They wouldn't keep his Sabbath. They wouldn't follow a lot of the commandments correct. So he said, I will scatter you among the heathen. Scatter you among the heathen. Heathen meaning not people that don't have a relationship with me. And in his own wisdom, I think he was trying to get his knowledge of who he is out to those nations, though. But that's a whole other Bible study. Anyway, he scattered those people to the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. among all nations, did he scatter his people because of the rebellion and the disobedience of them. Okay? So whoever Israel was, we believe that they were dust-colored people. I'll be on the safe side and just say dust-colored because God made man from the dust of the earth. And what color is dust? All right? So we know that Israel was dust-colored people. There's other reasons I say that. We'll get into that a little bit further in the Bible study. Okay? So he scattered them to all four corners. Right now, the United Nations say that whites are so-called Europeans or whatever name you want to put on our white brothers and sisters. The United Nations say that they are 8% of the world's population. Just 8% of the world's population. So 92% of the world is non-white. So if the Lord, if the Most High, if Yahweh has scattered his people, and he did, for real, into all four corners of the planet, then that would mean that Israel today, wherever they're at as a nation, have to be 92% non-white. So when I go to Israel, and as many of you know in our previous broadcast, and by the way, let me just stop for a second, we have talked about this. This is not the first time we're talking about us as Israel. So please look at previous broadcasts where we talk about how we know we Israel. So there's a list of episodes. We've done one. So this is our second one, okay? Again, we're new to blog talk, not new to internet, not new to preaching, not new to sharing. It's been doing this for 25 years, but in this particular vehicle, we're pretty new to it. So that's a benefit for you because you get to get in on the beginning aspect. You can see how this whole thing evolved, all right? So, again, the Most High scattered his people through all these non-white nations. So Israel, they talk about in Israel, something called the Aliyah or the Aliyah, which means the return of the true biblical Jews, the true biblical Israelites, all right? The problem I have with the whole Aliyah or the Aliyah is I've been to Israel from year 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 2008 I went twice. So I'm very familiar with who's there, how it looks, and the problem I have with the people in so-called Jerusalem claiming themselves to be the true bloodline Israel is they all look white. Okay, they just recently allowed the Ethiopian Jews there, the Falashians or the Beta Israel. The Falashians, people don't like to be called Falashians. They don't like that word. So let's respect them and call them Beta Israel. So Beta Israel has been allowed to come there. Ethiopians, they sent about 767 planes over there and pulled them out of Ethiopia. So Israel have them everywhere. Of course, they're in the army. Probably on the front line. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, they're there, and they're not getting the best treatment. I have to throw it out there. So what's up with this Israel's government only allowing certain people and taking people through the ring, and why is Israel so white? Well, we're going to get into that, okay? But remember, he said he would scatter his people among the heathen. Now, actually, we won't get into that right now. Let's go in your Bibles to, tell you what, I'm just going to quote this to you, and you write it down, those of you listening, and we may turn to it later on, but if not, just know I gave it to you. Revelation 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9, Christ is speaking, and he talks about, in Revelation 2 and 9, he said, "Behold, I know those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." That's Christ speaking, not me. That's Bible, not me, okay? Again, it says in Revelation 2 and 9, "Behold, I know those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Revelation 3 and 9, the Most High is talking to one group, and listen what he says to this group. "Behold, I know those who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. So I will have them to come and worship at thy feet and know that I have loved thee." That's right, my brother. You're jumping ahead, Mr. Deliverer of the Nation. This is one of our chat room persons says that 90% of Ashkenazi Jews are Khazars from the 8th century. Right on point. right on point, very true. All throughout the internet, even on YouTube, there's many videos, even of de facto Jews, those that was used to be Jews back in the day, that are now saying out of their own mouth, "I'm not a Jew," because they found out their true history. And even in the Jewish Encyclopedia, or how do you say it, the proper name of the Jewish people's Encyclopedia Judaica. Somebody can correct me on that. But anyway, even inside of their encyclopedia, they say they're from the tribe of Ashkenazi. The problem with that is, if you look at Genesis, where we talk about the different nations, Ashkenazi is not from the tribe of Shem, which is from the tribe that Israel come from. Oops. Probably not want to say that. You might want to try to go back and change history and say you're from Shem, because if you're from Ashkenazi, and that was from the tribe of Japheth, or Japheth, who was not of the same lineage that Israel come from, so how could you be now all of a sudden true Jews? So these things we have got to talk about. Is it spewing hatred? Let me stop this show right now and let everybody know vehemently, clearly, that we do not disrespect anyone based upon color, religion, anything. All we're doing is looking at the scriptures and looking at current events, looking at the scriptures, looking at past events, looking at the scriptures and looking at what we think to be future events, and trying to figure out as a people how to survive, and how to survive in a way that's going to help the planet, not just black folk. Okay, so I don't know why people want to shortchange this movement into a black this or black that. We have to say black so everybody know we're talking about. But the truth of the matter is, Israel is scattered to all four corners, even into Europe. I think some whites that are in the land, or maybe still in Europe, are truly Israel, bloodline Israel. They're dark brothers and sisters that was taken to captivity, taken north, and mixed so much with the Europeans, they no longer have the pigmentation that most of the planet have. They, in other words, look white. So, yes, I believe that some of those people there are Israel. We have to believe that, folks. We can't hate on everybody and say it's all black. No, I believe Chinese, some, if we scatter to all four corners, that means, you know, the scripture talks about, the Most High talks about how Israel is going to be like the great speckled bird. Okay, those you got the Strong's Concordance, your first little thing you can look up at the great speckled bird. We'll be as a great speckled bird. In other words, we'll be all types of colors. I think the vast majority of them will be non-white, but still different shades, all right? So let's talk about why this is important. Let's say some of you say, like I've been told so much in my life, Seth, you know, you got a lot of good proof there, especially with the way you're using the scriptures and proving that nobody else live out the blessings or the curses in Deuteronomy 28 like we do in Leviticus 24. You do a very good job, and I can see how we could be that people. Oh, so what? What if we are is like, what does that have to do with paying my bill that's due tomorrow and the one that's due on the 15th, my husband, you know, that won't act right, my wife that won't act right, my boyfriend who I'm trying to get to marry me? I'm only concerned about my life, man, and you talking about this ancient stuff. What in the world does this have to do with me? Isn't that a very wonderful, honest question? Well, today when I get done, if I haven't answered that question, I've not done my job. If I haven't explained to you that this historical fact and really factual fact today, this truth, let's just say that, this truth, this revelation is more important than your birth certificate. This revelation is more important than who you think you are when you look in the mirror. That's pretty important. This is far more important than even who you think your grandmom is. This is far more important than who the essence of who you think you are. Because I'm persuaded that many of us don't know who we are and don't know what our culture is. and don't know what it means to live, and don't know who the Most High is, and don't know who His Son is, and don't know who His Holy Spirit is, and don't know what He's doing up on the earth, and don't know why we're really down here living, don't know why you're even paying that bill. We're just moving, going through the motions like robots, building this golden calf, serving the one world order blindly. So if a brother come along and say, hi, I got some papers here by way of scriptures to show you exactly who you are, why you're acting the way you're acting, why our young people are selling these corners, why we're disproportionately in prison, why we're at the bottom of the education arena, why we're disproportionately misrepresented in the political arena, why socially we have the problems we have with other people, why we're disrespected, why we can't come together as a nation, why we can't build wealth, why we hate ourselves, why we serve other people and can't serve each other, why all this self-hate we have as a people. If a brother or a sister come along with something like that and they can prove it, I would think, Arlene, that would be the most important thing that I can even think of. Give me your comments on that, will you, please? Do you have comments on that?
Well, the only thing I can say on that is that the person that hears that truth hits them hard because they're holding on to something that they believe is their identity because it was marketed to them in mass all of their lives, and they've never really looked below the surface of it. And so what happens is when you come with a truth like that that's deep, it touches something deep inside, the first thing is to be defensive and to not really want to receive it because they have to let go of the popular image or identity that they've been sold. So it is a hard truth, but it's also liberating when you really get the understanding, because after all, you have to know who you are to be able to offer your true self authentically to the worship and service of the Most High.
Well put. Well put. I want to share something with you that I told you, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that I've been to Israel year 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2008, I went twice. You know, just because you go to Israel don't mean you're right. Let me just throw it out there. But if you do go to Israel, whatever you see and experience, nobody can take that from you. So nobody is saying because you went to Israel, you're supposed to mean you're right. No, that's not what I'm saying. But listen to what I experienced on the soil of what we call Israel. I was going inside of a mall, minding my own business. There was this Jew, so-called Jew, standing out there trying to do what we would call witness or share his faith. Everybody was ignoring this guy. He was trying to hand out leaflets, and I mean, they were throwing them on the ground. They was just not paying attention. That's another thing. The place is so ungodly. You even have strip clubs, believe it or not, in Israel. People go, I mean, it's some crazy stuff. Jerusalem. So anyway, I'm walking there. This was in, where was I? No, it don't matter. But I was in the land of Israel. I know I was in Jerusalem, but I'm trying to figure where was I at. And so this brother was just trying to share. And so, you know, I'm there on this historical journey. I go see about 4,000 Israelite, black Israelites that live in that land. I think it's that many. It might be. Don't quote me on that, but it's a lot of them, okay? And I go visit them every year. I was going every year, okay? That's a whole nother episode. Actually, I did have one on my previous broadcast, so check out the Federation of International Israelites. Wait a minute. Before I forget, let me just share that with you because there's something I forgot. Please forgive me. All right. I did mention on Sundays we do this broadcast, but on Mondays, on Tuesday night after midnight, this is a late night show, we have something called the Federation of International Israelites, and this is where we invite Hebrew Israelites from all over the world, Israelites from all over the world to share how they know they're Israel, what's going on in their particular country. Last week we had our brother on, Amaniel Ben Eleazar, and he shared life there in Israel. So every week we're going to have somebody there. Another brother's supposed to call me from South Africa. I got some people from Europe. So different people, I'm going to have them every week sharing their plight wherever they've been scattered as an Israelite. Very interesting program called the Federation of International Israelites. Okay, then on Thursday night, oh my goodness, we talk about the One World Government and the New World Order and how it has to do with Israel from an Israelite standpoint, from this new revelation of who the true Jews or Israelites are. How does the world stage change? It is something you can't miss. Again, it's a late night show. All of this will be archived, okay? Back to what I was saying. Back to the gentleman that was handing out these pamphlets. So I looked at him, and he looked at me and kept handing out these pamphlets. He was ignoring me. And here I want to talk to him, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to be dying to talk to me. No, he wasn't dying to talk to me. He was trying to talk to everybody else. I don't know what he saw when he looked at me, but he looked right in my face several times and just kept trying to reach, I guess, his own people or whatever. So I got a little offended. You know, it's the wrong person to do that to. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to leave this place until he's done. I was standing by his podium where he had all his books and his little flyers, you know, whenever you run out of the ones he had in his hand. So I knew he had to come back to his podium, Arlene. So I'm standing there, and eventually this brother, I guess about 30 minutes later, decides to come on back to his podium because he needs to get some. And this is exactly what the brother said to me. So are you from the United States? Are you football player, basketball player? Second strike on him, right? This is what I told his brother. And I'm telling you, so help me most high, this is what I told his brother. I said, no, I'm one of the original Israelites that was scattered out of our homeland thousands of years ago, and I just came back home to see how things have changed. That brother lowered his head, and you know, some of y'all don't know me, but you know me, those of you that know me, I just stood there and watched him. I didn't move. He lowered his head. I stood there and stared right at him. He didn't move. I didn't move. He didn't move. I didn't move. He didn't move. I didn't move. And I walked away on into this mall where I was headed. I walked, I guess, about 30 feet and looked back at him. His head was still lowered. Now, somebody might say, well, he just did that because he just thought that was the most foolish thing he ever did. I don't think so. What do you think, Arlene? Would you lower your head if an imposter or, in his mind, I would be looked at as a stranger or a nigger or whatever you might want to call me, or a football player like he thought I was? Would you lower your head and keep your head down to the enough time for me to sit there and stare at you for at least a good 2 minutes and then turn around and walk? It's about 2 minutes. I looked, stood there, and then I turned around and walked off, and I must have took like 35 steps, got back to the door, looked back at him, he's still. Would you do that?
I would. No.
What do you think that means? I mean, what do you think? Be honest.
I think he was ashamed. He had been found out. He had been caught with his hand in a cookie jar, per se.
A lot of people will play you till they find out what you know, and then they'd be like, oh. But you know what? One of the reasons I go to Israel, and I went to Israel every year, and I'm going to be going back in the future. One of the reasons, I plan on it, most I say the same. One of the reasons I do that, I go to Israel, is I just don't want to fellowship with the brothers and sisters there, the black or the dark-skinned Israelites that returned there in 1967 and said, we are the true Israel, okay? I don't just go to fellowship with them. Matter of fact, when I first went to them, they was trying to take me on this little tour and show me how that I am an Israelite because of the slave ships and all this stuff. And we're going to get into that. All this stuff, everything we go to as a people, we're about to get into in Scripture. Y'all just give me a few minutes because, again, people say to me, Seth, before you waste my time, why? What does this have to do with my salvation? How does this change anything? And so I figured I would answer that first, and then we're going to get into Scripture and show you beyond a shadow of doubt, as we said earlier, amazing proof how that there are black biblical Israelites, that Israel, that book, the Bible, is predominantly a people of color. So anyway, when I go to see the people in Israel, I'm not going for them to teach me anything as far as how I know I'm Israelite. That's not why I go. I learn other things from them. But that's one of the things when they tried to show me on the little tour, they tried to take on this little museum and show you all about what happened to us. I told them I didn't need that. They said, what do you mean? I said, I know I'm Israel. I'll go on the tour, but I know I'm Israel. You don't have, you can kind of skip some things with me. This brother, I like this brother. He's different. So the Most High showed me that before I even stepped soil on that land. That's one reason I valued the trip enough to go. So another thing I wanted to share with y'all that happened to me when we go. When we go to the Wailing Wall, for instance, and I try to go every year that I went, I would love to see the response of the so-called Jews when we come, because we come in a big group. I would always like to see their response at us. And I know you can say, well, my brother, you know, that's how you felt. I don't know if that's really true. All thing I can do is just share with you, just like anybody else on the net or on TV or anywhere else in any type of media, all I can just tell you the truth. Ask the Most High if these things be so, okay? Just say, that brother lying, you should be close enough to where he can say you get an unction, okay? Anyway, when we would go to the Wailing Wall, and we show up, because sometimes it'd be a group as big as maybe 40 people, and a lot of people dress, you know, according to that particular culture. And when we show up, you got to imagine this all-white atmosphere, and all of a sudden out of nowhere come 40 Israelites claiming to be Israel, and we have our own tour guide. Man, it is just so funny, Arlene, to watch how those people try to listen to us, but they don't want us to know that they're trying to listen. And this one little young brother was sitting up there, a little young white gentleman, you know, had his little beanie on. He's just doing his little prayers and doing that little rock, you know, which that rock is a whole other Bible study. It's rooted in black culture, but I ain't going to talk about that. Anyway, this little young brother, and he is a brother, because I'm brother to everybody on the planet. You know, the young people going to keep it real. So he's watching us like, these are black people. What are they doing? So he's trying to rock and read read the scriptures, right? But he starts backing up towards us. He would back up like 2 feet.
Away from the wall.
Away from the wall. He's supposed to be going forward, you know. He would back up. He'd keep rocking and reading. And then, because we got to a certain point and we stopped. And so he would back up a little further, and I'm like, do we realize we see him? This little brother finally up coming. He just said, that's enough backing up. That got it. He closed the scriptures and walks up and say, so, who are you? And I mean, I can tell stories like this. Every year it's always something like that. Then one time I was at the airport leaving, and this little white sister, Jewish, I'd say so-called Jew little girl, was watching us, and she knew that at a certain time of the year that thousands is going to come to Dimona, Israel, which is where I went, southern Israel, the hills of Judea. And so she knew I was one of those people because the airport is just full of us, right? And so she said, so what do y'all believe? Not hi, not hello, not did you like some coffee? Because I was at a coffee shop. She said, so what do y'all believe? And so I started sharing. You could just see the look in her face. Folks, what am I trying to say? Why am I sharing this with you? Because some people are taught truth. And some of these young people, they just want to know whatever the truth is. Tell me, Daddy, Mommy. They're going to find out. They're going to look at these YouTube videos. And don't think. That's why a lot of you Israelites out there that's dogging out white people, you are insane first and foremost, our battle is not with white people. It never was. Don't you understand true ancient history? I know we didn't get to go to the Harvards and the Yales and all that, and that's where a lot of this is taught, not these little community colleges, not these other little cheap colleges scared to say something controversial. But and we're moving right along. But if you only knew that with Israel, when Europe was a baby nation, in the caves of Europe, going after living after caveman era, that is true history. Caveman era is true history. They're not lying about that. The scholars are not lying about that. But what they don't tell you is during that time, Africa had universities in science and math and philosophy and all of that. What you see in Europe today is a lot of what we call stolen legacy. That's a book by Mr. James. Check that out, okay? Now, I see you, Mr. In the chat room there, Mr. CFGA. But anyway, what I want to share with y'all is just a little bit. We're about to get into the scriptures. This next hour, we're going to hit it hard and heavy. I'm telling y'all, y'all's fingers are going to get tired in a second. But I just want to share the purpose and one more story. The purpose and the passion, the purpose of why this is important to you. Why this is important to you and your family and your loved ones and your ministry or your business. Why, Seth, is this so important? You've been talking about this for years, but I'm letting you know why. Again, if you don't know who you are, and you don't know what's happening to you and why we've gone through this place called America, and why they say it's our home. You know, a lot of my white brothers and sisters get upset when we start talking about going anywhere else or this ain't our home. They don't like that kind of talk because they feel like this is y'all's home. A lot of blacks don't like this kind of talk because they feel like we've died in wars, we pay taxes, this is our home. Well, I know they say it's our home, but if you went to your personal home or apartment right now and you had to fight from the day you walked in that door, from the second you walked in that door, you had to fight. And when you go to the refrigerator, it wasn't there for you to eat. And maybe you can't even go to the refrigerator today. And when you try to listen to TV, you really can't listen to TV. When you go lay in the bed, there's bottles on the bed and there's snakes or whatever. I mean, you can't really enjoy your apartment or home. Is that really home? Well, I pay taxes. Yeah, it should be your home. I agree. Big time. But is it? What happened? Who are we? You really think your last name is Turner, James, Morrison, Smith? Now, your first name tells, I bet, who you are. Listen to this prison roll call, Arlene. Watch this. Just a little comedy here. This is a prison roll call. You ready? Now, we're going to the prison right now, right, y'all? And we listen to a roll call. This is these prisons got a line up to eat. This is how it sounds. Jeremiah Miller, here. Hezekiah Walker, here. David Smith, here. John Johnson, here. You see, I mean, why do we name ourselves a name of a people that don't look nothing like us? This is what we thought. We thought. This was back when we thought he was a white man. He thought he was white angels. We thought everything in the Bible was white. Some of y'all still got images all around your house like this, okay? Does it make psychological sound sense to name your child after somebody that is denying you every right possible? It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. It don't make no sense. I mean, what person would name their friends after an enemy? I know we love the Most High, we love His Son, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to talk about the psychology. But anyway, one more story when we get into the scriptures. I got a friend of mine named Brother Terry. I took him to Israel. I always take him. Matter of fact, he's at Ben Israel Synagogue on this very blog, Ben Israel Synagogue. This is a scholar in the Old Testament, so I took him to Israel with him because I felt like he'd be worthy of the trip. While he was in Israel, he was trying on one of the bands. And one of the Israeli young boys, there's a couple of them selling these bands, and they wouldn't fit Terry's arm. He said, this is not fitting. He said, hey, y'all got a larger one for me? And they said, well, no, we don't, but it don't matter. He said, no, I mean a larger one for my wrist because this one's a little tight. Now, I just need something a little. And they said, well, you don't. They kind of act like they wouldn't want to sell it. And so he finally said, are y'all just not want to sell me a bracelet, man? What is this? And he said, yeah. I said, why? He said, because you're not Jewish. Wrong person to ask. Now, Terry looks young. Don't he look young, Arlene, like he might be, what, 25 or something? But this brother is a scholar on that Old Testament. He's like 30, actually. I mean, this brother studies this a lot. So anyway, he says, Seth, I didn't want to tell them how I know I was Jewish. What I wanted to do is share with them how they became a Jew. Wrong person. Anyway, he began to go back, talk about in the 8th century, around that time, how a white people in Europe did not want to be Muslims, neither did they want to be Christians, because the Muslim was at each other's face and Christians was in fight with the Muslim. They was at each other's throat all the time. So they decided to adapt. The king of a land called Khazaria. All of this is on the internet. Some of y'all right now just go to Google right now and type in Khazaria. I gotta think here for a minute. Khazars. That's the name of the people. Khazar. They're from Khazaria. Okay. And so these people, their king, decided that he wanted his people to be Jews or Israelites. And so at that time, it was a non-white religion. He adapted this religion and forced that on the people of Khazaria. Over the years, those people became what we know today as the Jews. Folks, this is documented like crazy. Just type it in Google, Yahoo, YouTube. As a matter of fact, go to YouTube. You actually got one of a powerful men in the United States actually saying this, and he's supposed to be a Jew himself, and he's blowing the whistle on the fact that he's not one really because he found out this whole information, okay? So that's just some reasons why I feel like it's important to know we're Jews or Israel, because number one is the Most High have done a lot of things to us as a people. There's a lot of reasons why black people suffer, why we're at the bottom of every spectrum of life. I mean every single aspect of life, we're at the bottom. And you have to ask yourself, why is this? Why are we suffering so as a people? Why come other people can come over into this land, thrive economically and every other way, and here we are here. We can make other people rich, so we're not ignorant. We can make other people rich. We can make other people billionaires, but we can't come together to have a good, strong black bank. I mean, there is a reason for us, you know. Arlene, want to make a comment? Go right ahead.
And also on the topic of other people coming over here and being able to thrive as communities, we have to keep in mind that once they come over here, they don't have a disconnection with their past. They can sit down and they can recite their ancestry back generations. So they don't forget their connections. They don't forget their culture. They don't forget who they are as a people. And they stay united. But you walk up to Hezekiah Walker or to some other African American and ask him, what is your history beyond America? No identity, no history, no nation, no culture, no unity.
Wow, that was good, folks. So people, get your pens out and notepads. Take notes on what we're saying. I'm telling y'all, this is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, okay? We're approaching the hour. I got like 2 minutes. I'm deliberately timing this. So in about 2 minutes, I'm going to get strictly into the scriptures. But before I do that, one more thing. What does this have to do with me? Seth, you still haven't quite answered. You gave me some information, but what does this have to do? Why do you talk about it so much? Why are there some of you turning to the Hebrew roots? I see it everywhere I go. I see it everywhere I go. I see it in every nation. I can't escape. I was in Japan. I saw it. I was in China. I saw it. I've been to 24 nations. Me personally, I've set foot in 24 nations. I'm telling you, people, believe this. Do not get your information from the United States media. They're not going to tell you everything, especially anything that's going to encourage, enlighten, and ignite unity among us. Forget it. They're going to tell us everything worse about us. Like Al Sharpton said, I know some of you might not like him, but he said something very profound one time. He said, how can we ever become a people, a strong, powerful people, as long as we're trusting in the media? People that have a history of not liking us. Okay, so one of the things, write this down, please. Please write this down. Yahweh or the Father seems biased without this information. If we're just sitting up going through what we're going through because we disobeyed, what about whites? What about all these Italians, Irish, all these people? You can't tell me they wasn't disobedient either. Why do they rule so high over us in every single tiny aspect of life? People say, well, blacks in the entertainment industry are doing well. Are they? Go ask Denzel about that one. Denzel has a big issue with Hollywood and the oppression of him just trying to get leading roles and what he got to go through. It's not what you look like, but he always seems biased. It seems like he's picking on us as a people. He really does. Like he left it in.
He's left us out of the whole plan.
Yeah, it's like we're just this byproduct, you know. So without the revelation of who Israel really is, I mean, I want those of you listening, let's take a little breather here. I want those of you listening just to assume for a second I'm right, that the Bible, here's my declaration, the Bible is a book, a black history book. I know that sounds crazy. When I first heard that, I thought the person was a racist. Well, I'm not. I love all people very much, very real. I ain't going to say nothing to hurt one person on this planet. But the Bible is a black history book. The prophets were a woolly hair, nappy head, braided locks bunch of people, including Jesus or Yeshua himself, or Yahawashah. Okay, you people, you Israelites, bear with me. I'm going to say Jesus today. So Yahweh seemed biased. He seemed like he picking us. He seemed like he favored whites. If you come from Mars and you just land down on our planet and you look at this, that's what it looked like. Here's another thing. Again, pretend I'm right. If I'm right, now all of a sudden it makes sense why we're going through what we go through. Because I'm going to show you in the scripture where the Most High said certain things will come on Israel. And what's going to come on Israel, he say, is what we're living out, including the guys standing on the street corners. Arlene, make sure I don't forget the scripture about that one. I'm going to show you in ancient times where it was said that they had the same problem. Oh, yes, very clear, 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 clear. If it ain't clear, we don't talk about it. So it looks like the Most High is picking on us. And it's hard to serve someone with your heart if they're picking on you. Here's another reason why it's important. To you and yours. If Seth is right, that answers why we're so angry. I mean, we are angry with each other. We're angry with it because we disrespect each other. We don't believe in each other because, I mean, we're looking at each other in every aspect of life and we're suffering. We're at the bottom. So why would I respect? I mean, let's look at a lot of white people. A lot of our white brothers and sisters, and I know there's other ethnics, but there's a reason I'm saying whites, because they seem to have the most powerful power in our country right now on some levels, okay? Now, it looks like in every aspect of life, we're at the very bottom. We are. That's the truth, especially in this country. Now, how can our wives respect our men if that's the case? It looks like we're just lazy. And this is why a lot of good white people, all white people are good, but I mean those that strive to obey the Most High. Good, righteous people that happens to be white, this is why a lot of them disrespect us. I mean, look at black people like you're a Martian, you just got here yesterday. Disproportionately in the prison, disproportionately in every aspect of life on the bottom. What would you think about a people like that? If you didn't know the history and all that stuff, what would you just looking at things the way they are, if you're not a reader, which many of us is not, what would you think? It's very natural for a black man to date a white woman. That's what I was made for. It's very natural for a black woman to desire a white man. That's what we've been groomed for in America, I'm talking about. But remember, whatever we go through, Israel scattered to all four corners. I don't just believe African Americans are Israel. We've been scattered to all four corners. I believe that the Limbas are. I believe that the West African Jews are. I believe that the Indian Cochin, C-O-C-H-I-N Jews are. I believe that the ones in China, you know, there's Chinese Jews, blacks in China. They've been scattered to all the four corners of the earth. And everywhere we all saying the same thing. We're experiencing the very same problems. And we're going to line up in a second what those problems mean or what their problems are. So how can our women respect us? So there's an anger. Another thing is white people, why this is so important. I'm going to show you how today that they're not the ones that enslaved us. Oh, yes, they did. Oh, no, they didn't. Oh, yes, they they didn't enslave us. The Most High enslaved us. He just used them. He even says it in the scriptures, from the north, a nation is going to please, don't get me started. There's so many verses talking about people from the north, people from the north. Get out your Strong's Concordance and look it up. We'll go there in a second. The next thing that's important, why this revelation is important, is the word. The Bible absolutely cannot be understood without us being replaced as the true Jews. And I mean us as Israel, all four corners. It just don't make sense. Quick example, because I can be in the scriptures. Quick example. Listen to this. If Israel disobey, they're going to be the bottom like we are. If they obey, they're going to be the very top. They're going to rule over all nations. So Israel is either ruling over all the nations or they're at the very bottom under the feet of all the nations. That's how you know a true Jew. They're at the bottom. Okay? Based upon the scriptures, I'm coming out of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 24 mainly, which we're going to get into that today. Verse 46 is the most important thing because Moses said that Israel is going to go through these things forever, okay? Two more things quickly. Middle East, the Gaza Strip. There will be no peace in the Gaza Strip unless this revelation is known. Once those people fighting over the Gaza Strip realize that neither one of them is heirs to that land and the world knows it, like the household name, why would you keep fighting over something the whole world is looking at you knowing you neither one of you have heir to? Last, the nations of the world will no longer disrespect us, Arlene, and not want to do business with us because the world wants to be friends with Israel. That's why the Israelites, that's why the Israelis today get so much support from a lot of nations because people want to support God's people. Problem is, the people that's in Israel today all do respect, love, and sensitivity to the Holocaust. Nobody should have to go through that. Nobody. I don't wish it upon nobody. It was horrible. But the truth of the matter is we're just talking about what the scripture says and using that to interpret today's events, current, past, and future. The Holocaust isn't biblical. It's nowhere in the Bible. Callers, chat room, talk to me. If anybody sees what I'm saying to be a lie, let me know. Tell me something that the Jewish people went through that's biblical. Them becoming a nation? Oh, did they become a nation the godly way? Do you know about how the United States and Britain caused that force into being? Do you know about the Bafar Doctrine, B-A-F-F-O-R-D? You're on the Internet, type it in, B-A-F-F-O-R-D Doctrine. That letter was passed. Oh. So anyway, this is why it's important. This is why it's how it relates to you. Because if you are an Israelite, that explains why you go through the things you go through. That explains why, you know, a lot of our sons are locked up and we raise them properly. That explains why our women is acting the way they're acting, our men are acting the way they're acting. Let's go into that, okay? I only want a quick word before we jump to the scriptures.
Okay. I know you're probably going to go to Deuteronomy 28 where Moses actually set up the congregation and explain to them what was going to happen if they obeyed and what was going to happen if they disobeyed. But I just want to jump ahead so that we know which characteristics to look for. Should we look for, should we be able to identify Israel because they're so obedient and they're so blessed? Or should we be able to identify Israel because they've disobeyed and they're suffering such great, great suffering? Well, the answer is in Deuteronomy 31, verse 29. For I know that after my death, this is Moses speaking, for I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Now, this is Moses talking to the congregation of Israel. So we should be looking for the promises of disobedience, which are the curses, and those will be explained in Deuteronomy 28.
Wow. All right, let's turn to Deuteronomy 28, people. Let's do it. Get your strong concordance out, your oratory, scripture treasury, your Hebrew definitions, because we're going to go there, all right? We're going to move fast paced. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, all right? Now, jump down to 28 and 46. Arlene, read, please, Deuteronomy 28 and 46.
Okay, Deuteronomy 28 and 46.
Moses is talking about what is going to befall the people of Israel. He's saying the blessings or the curses. When he says they, he's talking about the blessings or the curses. Verse 1 through 15 talks about the blessings, and then he gets into the curses. Okay, and he's saying in Deuteronomy 28 and 46 that the blessings or the curses, one or the other, is going to be upon Israel forever. Go.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever.
Say it one more time. These are blessings, all the curses, and who is and how these are going to be upon Israel. So if you want to know who a true Jew is or a true Israelite is, or who really is who is the true heir to that land, here is your answer. One more time, Moses says, this is what's going to happen to you. Read the scripture again, please, Arlene.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder upon thy seed forever.
Forever. 2011, does that include forever? I think it does. Now listen, the verse says, and they shall be upon thee. He's talking to the 12 tribes of Israel out on the mountain. He is going over every specific thing they're going to go through as a nation. And he said, these things are going to be upon you for a sign, S-I-G-N. What does a sign do, Arlene, S-I-G-N? What does it do?
A sign points you to something. It gives direction.
It identifies, absolutely. And what does a wonder do? He said, these things are going to be upon you for a sign and a wonder. What does a wonder do?
I think it'll make people wonder about what's going on. What am I seeing? What am I experiencing?
So how do we know who is a Jew today? How do we know who Israel is today? Them lost tribes, are they really lost? Not if you come across this in the Bible. You look for these particular blessings and these particular curses. But it's not just Deuteronomy 28, folks. Come on. Some of y'all have been reading this Bible all your life. You know that this whole Old Testament is nothing more than stories about what is to come on Israel, how they're doing. So let's just look at it a little bit more. Let's start with Deuteronomy. Let's look at the blessings. And think, people, is there any group of people? Don't just go by a nation like America's a nation. Let's salute the flag. That's man-made nations. There's really only 70 nations, not 200. Come on. I need y'all to think and wake up with me. There's only 70 nations. There's not 200. Let's say me and a few guys, friends of mine, go steal some tanks and we go and conquer some little small territory and call it a nation. You really think the Most High acknowledged that? There's only 70 nation folks. So think of any group of people on the planet that have went through this. And we need to look at 400-year time slots. Like, let's look at this group of people for 400 years, that group of people for 400 years, because the Most High said, and we'll read that hopefully, you have time to read that, how these blessings or curses are going to be upon them for 400 years, okay? So let's go ahead and start with Deuteronomy 28 and 1.
Okay, Deuteronomy 28 and 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy Most High, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy Most High will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy Most High. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Doesn't sound like the war in Israel to me. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thou hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy Most High giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy Most High and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be the knee, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy Most High, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass. Okay, that's 3:14. Those are the blessings.
Those are the blessings. Now listen, what? Now, do y'all know any nation living out those blessings? Absolutely not. Japan?
Nah. America? Lend and not borrow. You got to be kidding. Our whole nation is afloat because of debt. European nation, every one of the European nations mock us. They're like wannabe Americans. All of them are in debt. All of them have deficit issues. Israel is a welfare state, folks. Don't y'all know that like it was at one point like one penny out of every dollar went to Israel. They live off us. We supported them. Now, some say the reason why we do it is because to have a base in their area, democracy in their area. Come on, folks. It's deeper than that. The scriptures, well, not the scriptures, but it's actually popular said that whoever rules the world will rule Jerusalem. So if you want to know who is ruling the planet, and you have one place to go to find out whoever is ruling Israel, is ruling the world. If Chinese tomorrow start ruling the world, they would set up Chinese Jesus in China, and they change it all look. Okay? Back in the day before the Crusades and the whitening up of Israel, before the whites come down from the north and killed off a lot of people and so forth and whitened up that whole area, that was a very dark skinned area. But go ahead, Arlene, let's look at the curses. What is to happen to Israel if they disobey? Now, we're going to jump around with that because there's 64 of them, y'all. So let's go ahead. Go ahead and start reading, Arlene, and then we're going to jump around. Start, and I'll tell you when to stop there.
Okay. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy Most High, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body.
Now, hold on a second, Arlene. I have to interrupt here. Remember, people, listeners, remember, you probably say, I don't have a field. Don't handle with me. You are connected to a people. When you're looking all over this, when your mind is scanning the world looking for this nation that's living out the blessings or the curses, we already concluded nobody's living out the blessings. So now it's a matter of who's living out the curses. Remember, we got to look at people in 400-year gaps, 400-year time slots, 400-year spans. And in 400 years, black people actually own land. It's going to later talk about your mule and your ox shall do this, shall do that. We don't have mule and oxes today. And it's going to sound very foreign to some of us living in 2011, the microwave generation. No, no, no. We're connected to a people. Look at 400 years at a time, okay? Go ahead, Arlene.
Okay. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. You want to talk about them being destroyed?
No, because that's evident right there in front of them. Let's skip to verse 68. Some of this stuff is so clear, I'm not going to stop to explain it. But though I got to talk about verse 68. But again, a lot of this we're going to read, I'm not going to have to say anything, otherwise we'd be here all day. Verse 68, listen to this. Read verse 68. This is the last verse about what is to befall Israel. Check this out.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for a bondman and for a bondwoman, and no man shall buy you.
One more time.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for a bondman and for a bondwoman, and no man shall buy you.
Israel, the nation, Moses is saying, he's the authority, folks. He's saying that this nation is going to be put in ships and sold as slaves. Now, if you're in modern-day Israel and you're going to be taken to modern-day Egypt, it don't make sense to use boats. They're landlocked. That can't be the Egypt he's talking about. Well, let's look at what Egypt was in that day and time. Egypt was the number one nation, number one powerful nation. They was the leader of the world, number one military. Egypt just means place of captivity, folks. Come on, come on, let's think. Why would you take people that's on in the Jerusalem area and march them way over to the sea when you can do better just by just marching them, you know, through the land? It just don't make sense. And let's just say if Brother Seth is twisting scriptures, when do you know the nation of Israel that's in Israel today to ever have been put in ships? Let's go there. See, when something is true, Arlene, she's laughing. If something is true, you can prove it more than one way. When was the nation of Israel put in ships, taken somewhere, sold as slaves, and nobody bought them back or nobody rescued them by buying them back to set them free? When? Just like Revelations 2 and 9, 3 and 9, we've already given you all those scriptures. If they're the real Jews, when did the fake Jews come and say and occupy Israel? The scripture is full of verses saying that a nation is coming, and it says it, from the north to occupy Israel as a punishment. When the Most High run his people, he scattered them. When he scattered them, he's going to bring a nation from the north to occupy. If the people that's there today is the true Jews and Seth is tripping and coming against God's people, when did those other people come from the north and occupy Israel? And why are you so sure that they are, my listener? Why do you say that to people, the Jews, the Jews? You have no proof. You have no proof. Let me know in the chat room. Let me know on the phone line. Raise your hand by hitting one. Let me know. It's just what you've been taught. We say they're Jews because they're in the land. We say they're Jews because they have these customs. They're rocking at the wall. They have this music. And we say that's Jewish. This is Jewish. My friend is Jewish, blah, blah, blah. But when you start asking questions, how do you know they're Jewish? Oh, that's a whole nother topic. I'm telling y'all, you're going to have to stay with us. We did a program last week. We're doing this program. We're going to do some more, maybe two or three more, and then that will be it for this episode, for this topic. I'm telling you, you can't miss one. I'm hitting some things this week I didn't hit last week, okay? So let's look at Arlene, verse number 30. Check this out. Verse number 30, your homework, though, listeners, if I have the authority to even say homework to you, would be to read Deuteronomy 28, all of it, and see who lives it out. Look at Leviticus 24. Now, that's the short version. The long version is you got to read the whole Old Testament.
Because even David, you know, he talks, there's a scripture where he talks about, we'll get into it a little later on, he says, you have made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. One more time. You have made us a byword, I mean a name calling, a proverb. People look at you and say some wise like, honey, don't ever be like those people right there. They're blah, blah, blah. If you want to hide some from black folks, put it in a book. All these little proverbs people say when they look at us. David, again, you have made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. There's so many scriptures, y'all. We have over 300. Okay, let's try to get as many as we can in. All right, Arlene, 30, please.
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
Now, back in the 60s, 50s, 40s, people did gather grapes and didn't eat them. They ate the chillings and what the white people didn't want. Okay? This ain't no hatred against no white folks. It's just Bible. Somebody got to play these parts. The Most High called different nations to play different parts. The whites out of the Europe, he called them to be spoilers. Don't blame them. Don't hate them. They ain't the ones. The Most High came against us because of our rebellion by not passing down our heritage to our generations. Okay? All right, but look at this scripture. Number 30 says, you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie. Now, let's understand what he means. He don't mean another man. He's talking about a nation of men. So you're going to have a nation of women, and a nation of men is going to come lie with her. Who went through that? Who went through that? Please tell me. All right, check out verse 32. And I'm jumping around because there's a lot, and I want to hit the ones that's the clearest.
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand.
Wow. Say that one again.
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand.
See, what a lot of parents don't understand, you say, I don't understand, I raised my kid right, I did this, I did that. Why is they in prison? Why? It ain't your fault. We are a nation. We suffer as a nation. You know how they say it takes a village to raise a nation, to raise a child? Well, a lot of times it's our village that have sinned, and your kids are suffering from what the village did. For instance, I can teach my daughter all day long, don't do that, but if every friend in our village or our network or our neighborhood, because we didn't always have these sophisticated neighborhoods we have now, back in the day it really was a village. If my village was corrupt and they constantly tell your dad is crazy, you can just have sex, you have to wait till you married. My daughter will probably have sex before she get married because the whole world is telling us I'm different. So look at all these cell phones. You sitting up trying to raise your kids, and they get messages on the cell phone. We've lost control of our children a long time ago. Hate to say, I know some of y'all are some super moms and super dads, but our village has fallen. And because of that, we're suffering as a people. And now some of these young boys in prison are not your fault. So that just freed up somebody I know. Okay? All right, check this out. Arlene, look at this one, Deuteronomy 28, and let's go through, I like what you just read, though, for real. Keep reading on, go down to 33. You really got to read this whole chapter, it's so much. I'm trying to pick out certain ones, but you really got to read the whole thing. Okay, the next 33, please.
The fruit of thy land, and all the labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always.
One more time.
The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always.
Who do you know live that out? Do you really think the people in Israel today can say we live that out? And when I go to Israel real quick, I get the top priest to talk to. and I try to record them. And the one guy actually was crazy enough to let me record it. So I got it to record it, for real. This brother tells me, and I always want to peek him because all of the Israelis on the plane was constantly coming to him. And I kept saying, I didn't let him know how I believe. I tell him there was this movement in the United States that are saying that they're not the true Jews and that they never went to Deuteronomy 28. I'm making this long story like in 30 seconds. He said, well, actually, that's not true. We have lived Deuteronomy 28. I mean, Ollie, I'm serious. I mean, I've told this before, but I'm serious. This guy told me this. And I said, well, just for the record, I'm not going to say his name. I said, just for the record. And remember, all these priests on the plane was checking in with him. So he was a high priest, one with one of them cheesehead-looking hats, okay? So he says that, I said, well, just give me some information. He says, well, I said, what have y'all lived out of Deuteronomy 28? Well, like the Holocaust. I say, you saying the Holocaust is in Deuteronomy 28? Now, people, I ain't been getting no college degree, all right? So y'all kind of have to watch me. I allow to say something because I'm a little bit kind of uneducated here, okay? But please, do y'all know any part of Deuteronomy 28 that talks anything remotely about a Holocaust? Or if you can find anyone in the Bible, please let me know so I can find something else to talk about on Blog Talk. Just crush this whole subject by just, you know, let me have it, if you will. Where is the Holocaust at in the Bible? Okay, but let's move on. We got scriptures to cover. 64, please. And again, while she's turning, I'm just jumping around. There's so much more. We're going to leave Deuteronomy here in a little bit because y'all got to just read this whole chapter.
And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
Wood and stone. Now, I know people saying, well, Brother Seth, that don't relate to us. We don't serve gods of wood and stone. Are you kidding me? Everything we got is wood and stone. Cars is made out of metal. I mean, stone. Metal comes from stone. Y'all know that? Homes. Everything. Look around your house. Everything around your apartment right now, if you look around, it's wood and stone. Honest, okay? Now, what I like is to say neither your fathers haven't even known these gods. And earlier we read a scripture where it says that people is going to oppress you when it was talking about they're going to take your women. And it says you never known these people. I forgot to make this point. But Israel knew everybody. What people was the Most High going to bring against Israel that they didn't know? Israel knew the Persian. Israel knew the everybody. So what did the Most High mean, Arlene, when he said, huh?
I was wondering when you're going to address that.
Oh, okay. She was wondering. Oh, so I just want to make sure I'm reading more scriptures in common, but we got to really look at this. It says, the previous scripture we read when it was talking about you shall betroth a wife, it says this is going to be by people who you didn't know. Now watch this. Israel knew everybody. See, what I believe is Europe was becoming the powerful nation that it is today. The Most High was forming the people up in those caves in Europe. Okay, it was the caveman era, that's very true, but the Moors went up, the Black Moors went up, educated those people, they became mighty in science, and the Most High used those people. I'm going to read, we're not going to read because we read that last study. Check out the last episode of this. We talk about how those people came. The Bible, we address it. I can't go over it, but it's in the first episode and with Joel 2, where it talks about a people that's going to come. They're going to be the most powerful people. Nobody's going to escape them. Before them, it's like the Garden of Eden. After they get done, it's going to be like a wilderness. Nobody's going to escape these people. The Most High called the Europeans to rule for a season. Absolutely. Absolutely. So quit blaming, talking about hating on white people. They are doing what they're called to do. I will add this before we move on. The Bible does predict that they're going to take it too far. Slavery is one thing. Homosexuality inside of slavery is different. Slavery is one thing to work them, but to break up families, the Most High, that's nowhere in the scriptures. So the slavery that we encounter here in the Americas is going to be taken too far, and that's what's going to cause America to be part of the damnation. That's why she has got to pay. That's why she is the Babylon, the mystery Babylon of Revelation. All right, let's go ahead. Verse 65, please, if you didn't read that.
65. 5. Okay. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind.
Who lives out that? That's all I'm going to say on that. Verse 54.
So that the man that is tender among you.
This is the good man among you, the good man among your nations. I'm talking to you, African Americans. I'm talking to you, South African Limbas. I'm talking to you, West Africa. I'm talking to you, India Cochin people, or the so-called untouchables that were a shadow of an untouchable. Get on another person, they have to go wash. Some people say they live worse than where we live in America. I'm talking to you, Australian Aborigines, that's at the bottom of society, living out for sure, Deuteronomy 28 and 46. Y'all still owe their bare feet. Okay, I'm talking to you scattered all throughout the Caribbean, living this out. Do you wear this Cinderella slipper? Then you are Israel. Go ahead, Arlene, read that again, please.
So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave.
What? So you said a nation of men is going to leave their children? Read that again.
So that the man that is tender among you is very delicate. His eye shall be evil toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave.
Okay.
Good men leaving their children. Where does that happen?
Keep reading where it talks about the women. Why? Because when you pick on the men, I'm feeling a little sensitive right now.
Okay. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat.
Now, hold on. When it says he shall eat, it's not talking about he's going to literally eat. Some people actually believe that. The word eat, E-A-T, is used in the Bible whenever it means to take somebody else's bread or take somebody else's provisions. That's all that means. Okay? All right? Go ahead.
Because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee and all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly.
In other words, she's going to take their stuff. Maybe they need to be in private school. Maybe they need to be sitting. She needs to spend quality time. Instead of her doing that, she'll eat their time by doing what she wants to do and say, go watch TV. Instead of doing the things she should do as a woman to help promote this nation, she'll eat that time that she's supposed to have. She'll eat their provisions on getting her nails done, her feet done. Some of y'all, not all of it. Come on now. I'm not picking on getting nails done, but I'm like, she'll eat her provisions. And so will that man. That man will eat the provisions, the time he's supposed to, and he'll eat that. Eat their provisions, money that's supposed to go on the children instead of it going on the children. He'll eat that. Eat just simply means to, again, exhaust their provisions. All right. Verse 41. Let's skip to verse 41. We kind of read something about the sons and daughters, but I want to read this in verse 41, please.
Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them
as a nation,
for they shall go into captivity.
Over a million black men locked up. That's self-fulfilling. That's done right there. Okay, look at this. 37.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee.
Now, that's what they said in Deuteronomy. But David actually said, Lord, thou makest us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. You remember that scripture, Arlene?
Yeah, I remember that. And I can see people shaking their head looking it up.
Say it again.
I can see people shaking their head looking at some of the things that we have to deal with.
Okay, now let's go to verse 49, please.
Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
What you mean, a nation whose tongue you won't understand? These was Israelites. They understand everything. These was a very smart people. Who? Read that again.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from the far, from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, oil, or the increase of thy kind or flocks, sheep, until he have destroyed thee.
Okay, let's kind of show some even clearer scriptures. I mean, we can read so much more in Deuteronomy 28, but I want to give you some other chapters. Again, read Deuteronomy 28. Hopefully we wet your tongue enough to where you will go and read Deuteronomy 28. And remember, this is supposed to be up on people for a 400-year spot, 400-year time span. Look at people, nations all over the world. Who is living out this? If anybody else can go through this, they are nothing more than our brothers and sisters scattered in another portion of the planet. This is Israel. This is the people that's to fulfill the Bible. Bible prophecy is very confusing unless you plug in these people. If you start looking at any other people, you're not going to understand the Bible. This is why, how Lindsay, I'm calling you out. Yes, sir. I'm calling out a lot of these other prophet preachers. As long as they are looking at the people over in Israel today, that 1948 is going to throw them off, okay? Now, that's Deuteronomy 28, but let's get more clear. Let's go ahead and look at, Arlene, if you can turn in your Bible to Lamentations. Lamentations, please. Lamentations is 5 and 10, please. Lamentations 5 and 10. Now, Israel is going to tell you, point blank, right out of their mouth, what color they are right now. How about that? Can't get no more clearer than that. I mean, right now. I'm going to read 48 while she's getting 5 and 10. Lamentations 4 and 8. Lamentations 4 and 8 while she's getting 5 and 10. Actually, I'm going to wait because I know people are turning on the net. So we're getting two scriptures, one at 4, 8, and 5, and 10.
Okay. 4 and
8? Uh-huh.
Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It is become like a stick.
One more time. Visage means face, folks. Try it again. Visage means face.
Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. Is become like a stick.
You probably say they're sick, they're hungry, Seth, they're dying. Right, that's the key. When we're dying of hunger, we get dark like the Ethiopian commercials. But white people, the kind of people that's posing as Israel today, and it's again not picking on white people, this is sticking with science, scriptures, and facts. They don't get black like an oven. One more time, Arlene.
Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It is become like a stick.
Okay, go to 5 and 10 in Lamentations.
Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine.
One more time.
Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine.
All right, how clear can they make it? They let you know what they are. But here's a scripture, one of my favorites, Isaiah 51:20. I mean, Lamentation just killed it. I mean, it shouldn't be no more discussion about, yes, Israel was dark-skinned people. And while y'all flipping, I'm just going to throw these other verses out there. Remember when Jethro went to save, when Moses went to, well, for one thing, Moses passed as Pharaoh's grandson. A lot of y'all know this. Bear with people that don't know it, okay? Moses passed as Pharaoh's grandson. All scholars, all anthropologists, ain't nobody out there hollering at Egypt back in the day, back in those days, were nothing but dark-skinned people, okay? If Moses passed as Pharaoh's grandson, I don't need to even finish that, right? I thought so. Okay, now watch this. Moses was helping Jethro's daughters, and Jethro said, where you been? They said, yeah, how did you get that water? And they said, an Egyptian saved us because something had happened. And I'm going a little too fast here, to be honest. But what am I trying to say? I'm saying that Jethro's daughter said that an Egyptian saved us. So that's another story you can look up as homework.
It's not on my list of scriptures here, but I just happen to think of that. When Moses went to help the Jethro's daughters, and they went to explain what happened, I think an animal came out for them, and Moses delivered them, and he said, what happened? And then they said, an Egyptian saved us. This animal came out, but an Egyptian saved us. Those of you in the chat room, anybody online, if you want to raise a hand and give me that scripture, fine, but it's not on my list, and I'm not one of those persons that know every single verse, okay? But, folks, Israel is a dark-skinned nation. They always have been. It don't matter if you're talking about Christ's feet being burnt, burnt like feet burned to bronze. You know, there is no Bible verses that talk about Israel being white. No Bible verses. I challenge you. I've been in 24 nations saying this. Ain't nobody never said, Brother Seth, you're wrong. Look at this. Okay? Again, this is not just about Jesus being black. Or Israel being black. This is to show you if they are black, it explains why we go through what we go through. And this, we haven't even gotten to the prophetic side of it, what that means in terms of the future, what's to happen into Israel. The Bible says a remnant of Israel is to return. So if a remnant of us going to return, we for sure got to at least know we Israel first. Okay, so hold on with Christ coming back because it ain't happening so soon. I know there's argument about whether or not he's coming to the sky or the mental or whatever spiritual state. It don't matter. He ain't coming right now because Israel, a remnant of Israel is to return to that nation and to build up, okay? I think personally it's going to be a World War III. I personally think those three Arab nations is going to eventually come against Israel. And it's going to be because if they're not Israel, well, how is they going to, you know, so. This truth has got to hit the fan, and whatever happens to happen, I wish peace upon everybody. I wish not a hair on their head is touched. I'm talking about the people in Israel. But I'm unfortunately not the Most High. If he's already predicted that a remnant of his true people are going to come, Most High can do that any way he wants. But I personally hope none of my brothers and sisters, and they are my brothers and sisters, because they're humans. I don't wish anything on them, but we got to stick with the scriptures and what is to happen, okay? Now, you got Isaiah. Check this out, y'all.
51:20.
Isaiah 51:20.
Okay. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of the Most High.
Read that again. Now, listen, this is a nation of young men.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of the Most High.
They're full of anger. One more time. This scripture bears reading three times. Every time I read this to someone, I say, what do you think the head of a street is? Not one person have gotten this wrong. And I've asked this question all over the world. What in the world is the head of a street? Listener, I'm asking you, what is the head of the street? Let's everybody say it on three. One, two, three. I heard y'all right. The corners. The corners. One more time, Arlene.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of the Most High.
Now, let's break this down. If they fainted, that makes sense why they laying down. It seems like if somebody fainted, they would lie down. But then it goes on to say they're like a wild. How can you be wild and have fainted? So it must mean, what do you think? How can they be wild and have fainted? It must be a mindset. In their mind, they fainted. And they're like a wild bull. And then what is it about this net?
A wild bull in a net.
Like something is catching them where they can't run free. It's a net. Now, Isaiah is almost like a media person. He is telling Israel what is going on. He's saying, your young men, a nation of men back in ancient times, was standing out on these corners. Because they can't be laying down, folks. They say, thy sons have fainted, they lie at the end. But it can't be that they're lying down. Even if they were lying down, it's always one way, more than one way to skin a cat, right? Even if they are laying down, which don't make any sense, they still have fainted in their minds, and they're wild. They're doing something to be a bull. A bull is a very strong animal, so they ain't just sitting around doing something wimpish. They're doing some powerful, strong things that will make them equate them to a bull. But there's this net. But this is the part that we don't read. It says, They are full of the anger of the Most High. What does God have to do with these young people? When I read that part of the scripture, I said, I don't know about this scripture. But I couldn't deny that the head of the street, and I said, oh, my goodness, this is judgment upon us as a people. So when you go talk to these young boys, is there any reason they're cussing out preachers and knocking head on folks and robbing churches? We haven't been there for them. This is judgment. And the last part of the scriptures say, a rebuke of thy God. One more time, read, darling, Isaiah 51 and 20. Some people are riding along the way. They have their little cell phones out, and they can't read this. Read it one more time.
Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of the Most High.
Folks, listen, it is so much now. We're going to read some more, and then I'm going to give you a long list of scriptures, okay? I know I have over 300, but I cannot drop 300 scriptures on you at one time. I gave you 68, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 24. We're not going to try to read that. But the key thing about Leviticus, I'm sorry, we're not going to read Leviticus 24, is what I meant to say. It's the key phrase in Leviticus 24. It's just like Deuteronomy 28. But the thing I like about Leviticus 24, it actually put a number. It said you're going to have it seven times harder than other nations. So if you want to know who Israel is, look for a nation that have it seven times harder. Now, I know a lot of whites are saying, you know what, I get tired of black people. They always talk about how hard they got it. They always talk about how hard they got it. Listen, I was raised in a hood, man, too. We didn't have any money, and some people in wheelchairs may say, I'm a crippled person. I'm white. Y'all ain't went through it. I went through somebody might say I'm blind, or somebody might say I'm retarded. I'm this. Or I'm that. All I gotta say to you is, add black to it. Just add black to it. So what I'm trying to say is, if anyone lives out these things we're reading, they are Israel, folks. That's Israel. You say, we ain't no Israel. These niggas running around here acting all in the corner, standing out crazy. There's nowhere in the world they know Israelites. I'm telling you, people, our culture with us acting the way we acting right now, with that young boy standing there holding himself on the corner, our women acting the way they're acting, our men are taking care of the very state we're in right now, don't change nothing. With us calling each other, what's up, my nigga? Everything. I can prove every aspect of our culture with this Bible. It predicts we would do it. Another scripture we hadn't read says blood touches blood. That's black on black crime. There's lots of scripture talks about that. You've got to stay with us. We got 8 minutes left in this program. You've got to stay with us. There's a lot of scriptures. The whole Bible is your life, African Americans. The whole Bible is your life, Limba. That's why you're getting shot down in South Africa. That's why you're being shot down like children and your life mean nothing. That's why West Africa, Ashanti, you're going through the things you're going through. The people in India, you know, the so-called untouchables, they say the untouchables have it far worse than African Americans. You never dream of it. Again, if they shadow even touch somebody that wasn't untouchable, they were supposed to wash. I went to India. I told you I've been to 24 nations. I, with my own eyes, looked at the untouchables. They act just like us. Did y'all know Iraq was full of dark skin? Did you know that Iraq has a portion of it that's full of African-looking black folks in Iraq? No, you didn't know that, because American media ain't going to show you that. We are everywhere, and wherever you find people living out the things we've read, and there's so much more, and I apologize. I did a lot of talking, but I had to lay the foundation that first hour because so many people are asking, what if we are? Then what? Well, if we are, it's the most important thing you can be told outside of giving your life over to Yahweh by way of following Christ. Next, you need to know that you're Israel and why you're in the state you are and why you go through the things you go through. Everything about you so-called black people, y'all are living it out. And white people, you probably say, well, I'll just join. Hey, what's up with the white person? Like I had a white person to tell me, what about me? what's it with us? Now, I know I find it funny nobody said, what's it with us? The whole while Israel was who they are, but all of a sudden we come into who we are, and people want to say, well, what about the white people? Well, your place is this. First and foremost, you are a spiritual Jew. When the natural Israel rejected the Messiah, you was engrafted in. So that's one thing right there to tear up your house rejoicing over, the fact that you are part of the commonwealth of Israel as a spiritual Jew. But the Most High is not done with his people. It talks about it in Romans 10 and 11. What then have the Jew? So why is it even important to be a Jew? He goes on to say, the scripture goes on to say in Romans 10 and 11 and 12, it talks about how the Most High is not done with Israel, the natural Israel, how he's going to do a lasting work with them. The valley of the dry bones, that was Israel. The 144,000 in the book of Revelation, that's at the end. He's still using it, dealing with his bloodline Israel. 144, 12 times 12, those 12 tribes, there's a remnant from all those tribes that make up the 144,000. But then he saw a number that no man could number, Arlene, and that was the spiritual Jews and everybody else. So all I'm saying is this. This is vitally important to you and your children and your husband and your soon-to-be whatever your life is made up of. Real quickly, I'm going to share some scriptures here. I want y'all to get your pencils out and write, because I'm going to go pretty fast. It's a lot of reading. This ain't for no little verse here and there. The whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28. Okay? Jeremiah 4:22, verses before, verses afterwards. My people oppress, my people trust in oppression and perverseness. We actually trust things that is perverted and oppressive. Isaiah 20 and 4, Isaiah 30 and 12. How about this? Thou made us a proverb, a byword, a shaking of the head among the nations, Psalms 44 and 11. Also, look at verses 12 and 13 of that same chapter. I told you about Leviticus 20, I think I said 24, but Leviticus 26. I need to research that, where it talks about Israel going to suffer seven times more. So we only looked it up real quick, Leviticus 26. Versus Leviticus 24. I'm a little rusty on that, but I think it's Leviticus 26, verse 21 through 24, where it talks about we're going to suffer seven times more. Joel 2 talks about a nation, which is a, oh, my goodness, I've been saying 24. But 26, the whole chapter talks about Israel and how they're going to suffer seven times more. Habakkuk talks about a people that's going to oppress Israel. Check this out. It says their dignity and judgment shall proceed from themselves. I'm going to say that again. That's Habakkuk 1 and 7. The people that oppress Israel, here's their definition of them. Whoever's going to oppress Israel, this is the definition of them. Their dignity and their judgment shall proceed from themselves. All of the whole planet, ever since this planet been, people have always got their dignity and their judgment outside of their nation, from the people that lived before them. These are some odd people. They just make up stuff. And I know a lot of, you know, whites, because this is basically what I'm saying. I ain't cutting no, I'm not cutting no corners here. This is the people that rule over us. And that's not every white. Some people white first fear the Most High more so than I do in any of y'all calling yourself Israel. But the vast majority of the people that run this country and the European Union, these folks live out this, okay? Isaiah 51:22, thus saith the Lord thy God that pleased the cause of his people, behold, I have taken. Oh, Lord, Isaiah, you got to read this, Arlene. Go to Isaiah 51:22. They're not going to believe this. The Bible is saying this. Isaiah 51:22, okay? Talks about how the Most High is going to put in Israel this trembling to bow down to the people that oppressed them. So when they say bow down, they bow down. The Most High put it in them to oppress, to submit to their oppressors. Yes, ma'am.
Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord and the Most High, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again.
Keep reading.
But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid
thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over.
So what the Most High is saying, he's going to put the same trembling into the people that rule over us. But he did say that he put it into us first, and they said to us, bow down that we may walk over on you. And we said, yes, Master, and bow down. That was the Most High. I told you, white folks, it's not our problem. You got issues, take it up with the Most High. He used them. Okay, Deuteronomy 32:28. Okay, I got okay, so we about run out of time here, but Deuteronomy 32:28, Joel 3:3, Isaiah, okay, let me go a little slower. Deuteronomy 32:28, Joel 3:3, read verses above those and after. And remember, when y'all read this stuff, know that Israel is supposed to go through these forever. So you probably say, well, Seth, yeah, I see it, but what does it got to do with us? Remember Deuteronomy 28:46, that Israel is supposed to continue to go through the same things ancient scriptures were reading. All those ancient scriptures we're reading, it's relevant to the day because Moses said in verse 46 that they'll go through it forever, okay? They'll go through it forever. So I'm going to go ahead and check out. Hopefully everybody do well. Don't forget, you Israelites, this is a new year. This is springtime. It's a new year for the Israelites, for Israel, scattered throughout all four corners. We are observing the Passover next week. Feast of Unleavened Bread starts. It's a seven-day event. So don't forget that. Don't forget that. We are to observe those for ever, okay? We're not under the law. We're just commanded to do it as a culture, all right? Shalom, shalom. I'll see you next week. And don't forget our broadcast on Tuesday, this Tuesday night, late night, talking about the all right? So shalom to everyone.